My next guest is on the line. This is a really difficult conversation to have, probably the most significant conversation of the day in terms of its seriousness and the impact that it will have. So to discuss a very difficult subject this afternoon is Orit Sulitsianu. She is Executive Director of the Association of Rape Crisis Centers in Israel. Why are we having this discussion today? Because yesterday, and we did speak about this shortly, a report was released into the atrocities committed by Hamas on Israeli citizens, and specifically looking at the sexual violence aspect of it. That is what we are going to discuss now. Hence, you can see my, I don't want to say reluctance, but the sensitivity of the issue. We're talking about sexual abuse and the weaponization of violence during war. Orit, thank you for talking to us about this very serious subject here on Chai FM. Appreciate your time.
Hi, hello, thank you.
Orit, so this report that that was released yesterday, I reckon was one of the most disturbing documents that we've seen since the 7th of October. Does this document finally put beyond doubt the fact that sexual crimes were committed by Hamas and that the world now has to acknowledge what was done?
You know, being, you know, part of the Jewish people, and I'm Israel here, for us and for me and for the Israelis, from the 7th of October, in the few months afterwards, after Pamela Patton, the under-representative of the Secretary of the UN on the issue of sexual violence in war, and after us, the Association of Rape Crisis Center, published the first report in the world about this issue, and then and after there were also a few other reports to this big and very conclusive report for us for the first time. That was already February, I think, 2024. It was evident and factual that sexual violence in war, as a weapon of war, has occurred on the 7th of October and afterwards. But we are dealing still today with denial of what happened. And I think people still today that deny that the Holocaust has happened, although there's so much evidence and so many, there were a lot of survivors, including my mother, who was a survivor. And still there are people who say that 6 million Jews were not killed in the Second World War. So also this has the same, it relates of course to what happened from the 7th of October and afterwards, that we heard in Israel and in the world that hostages, living hostages, that came out of captivity and out loud described the sexual violence that was done to them by the terrorists, by Hamas terrorists, the men and the women that said that. But people in the world that do not want to believe, pro-Palestinians that and other people, not only pro-Palestinians, that do not want to believe that, no matter how many reports will come out and how much evidence will come out, living evidence and not living evidence, people who deny, I think we cannot change their minds, because they deny as an ideology. They do not care about the facts.
So you're pretty much telling me that this report is not going to shift the needle in respect of deniers. If you are a denier, you remain a denier. This report won't change minds.
Unfortunately, I'm really sad to say so. I'm really sad, but I think that people who dare to deny, you know, this is, I think it's maybe the fifth report that came out, and every report that came out added to the reports beforehand. There were a few reports already, I think 5 or 6 or 7 reports, not only Israeli reports, but also reports done by the UN, you know, and by the British. There was a British government report also that came out. So, and Amnesty International that also had a report. It's not only Israeli or Jewish organizations. So we cannot, people who do not want to believe or want to look at the truth in their own eyes, what can we do about them? I do hope that still, that this report, which is very comprehensive and has a lot of testimonies in it, more than all the others that were before this report, it will at least give people who want to read, who are interested, government officials, heads of institutions, more information. And in the long run, not today, this will be as an archive for people who will do investigations or will do seminars at university. So it's very important to have written an archived material about what happened. And this is very important. So I do think it's very important that this report came out and every other information that came before and will come afterwards. And it will influence society, but, you know, the harsh deniers, this is an ideology. Do not change ideology very easy.
Yeah. Orit, you've spoken for years about sexual violence being used deliberately as a tool of terror, and not as a byproduct of conflict, but actually a tool of terror itself. And I want you to help us understand, and what does it mean when rape becomes a strategic weapon? What is it meant to achieve, and why do groups like Hamas use it?
This is a good question, and it's a hard question. Until 2.5 years ago, it's not me who you would have talked about this issue, because I did not know that. But actually, first of all, I think this has huge implications about Israeli society, and not only the Israeli society, but the Jewish society, the Jewish people, and maybe other nations. Because the understanding that in a very progressive Western country, every country, but you know, it, like these kind of things, this kind of unhuman, I don't even have the terminology to describe these horrific things that happen. Horrific. I don't want to talk about them in the radio now, but to understand that people can do to other people such barbaric, sadistic things. This is something which is a tectonic change for society, for people. You know, it's the second Holocaust after the first Holocaust, you know.
Wow,
and the implications on us, on Israelis and Jewish people, is not only, and many people don't understand that. Some people think, oh, it was just one day. Yeah, it finished. No. In Israel today, because of all what has happened, there's a mental health crisis. Huge need for mental health professionals, not enough people who can do that because of various reasons. A lot of post-trauma for first responders, for the soldiers, for maybe family members of these people who suffered so much. And all of this, hundreds of people and thousands of people, this will influence their life forever. And I think also we see a lot of violence today in Israel because of other reasons, but I think that the fact that the horrific terror that happened to our people was so brutal, so unbelievable, I think it has deep influences on our society that we do not yet understand. Oh, and also a lot of influence on the Jewish people, which I talk with around the world, and you know, we are not yet fully grasping the understanding of this horrific day. And the days afterwards, till all of the hostages came out of captivity and told us that the things that we dreaded mostly happened also to them. And I think it's very, very sad and very devastating to believe that people, human beings, can do such horrific things to others. And that's it.
I tried to read bits of the report yesterday. I couldn't. I'm a coward. I stopped very shortly after I began. Because you can't unsee what you've read. It becomes part of you. And I just want to say to if you're listening to Chai FM right now, that imagine the very worst things you could possibly imagine and then make it five times worse. because that is what was contained in that report. It was just beyond awful. And I don't think you're the same, having read something like that. And then to read that the international feminist groups and international women just refuse to believe Israeli women. I mean, that must compound the issue as far as Israeli women are concerned.
It's more than Israeli women, because I think, you know, I always say that, you know, and I just returned last week from the United States in New York, and I talked with many people. You know, ideologies and people have different ideologies. Not everyone likes the politics of Israel, and that's, of course, this is how it is. But there is no excuse, no reasoning for using bodies of people as weapons of war, and sexually sexually attacking them just because they are tools, weapons of war. No excuse, no matter if you like some person or you don't like this person, or you like this person's ideology, or you cannot stand their ideology. And this is very sad that you can see all around the world, and in many countries, people who prefer to close their eyes. I think about it a lot, and I think that this is very sad for our humanity, that people prefer to believe in certain ideologies and give excuse to such horrific things or deny such horrific things. And this is very, very sad.
Final question for you, Orit, and I'm so sorry that I have to raise this. I'm certainly not drawing an equivalence, not for one second, but we as the world were confronted by an article by somebody called Nicholas Kristof. It was an article published in the New York Times talking about alleged Israeli rape of Palestinian prisoners. I don't want to talk about the content of it. I'm sure the issue will be investigated within Israel. I'm interested in your take on the timing of the release of that article by the New York Times.
Well, I tell you, you know what? I don't know what to tell you too about the timing. The only thing I can tell you that first of all, as an organization that deals with sexual violence, you know, my role in the world as a feminist also, is not, I cannot deny nothing, anything. I cannot deny that. I will not deny it. And I will call my government to really check these things. I should say that in Israel today, there are very extreme people, extreme people that do bad things. And I condemn that from the whole of my heart. And unfortunately, in societies, there are extreme people. But the difference between a country, a sovereign country, the difference between a country like that and a terror group is that a country which is sovereign should behave in abide law. And if there are people in the country, soldiers or other people who do things against the law, these things should be investigated, and these people should be punished. And we cannot deny these things. And this is a very serious article, and I read it. The writer is a Pulitzer Prize, past winner of the Pulitzer Prize. That means that he's a serious journalist. I don't know him. I don't know the politics of that. But I think we should, all of our government officials and all of our leaders should read that very carefully and investigate that. We should keep ourselves human people and behave humanly to everyone. And this is my take on this.
Orit Solitsianu, thank you for talking to me here on Chai FM. Appreciate your input this afternoon.